Hi, Gateway. I'm John. This series, we're asking the question, what does a life look like that's been shaped by the gospel? How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, whether plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in the present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father, forever and ever. Amen.
I just got back, along with a group of our high school students from Puerto Rico on Friday. We had a mission trip with 11 of us total, 8 students and 3 adult leaders, where we had the opportunity to come alongside an organization called YouthWorks. YouthWorks has sites all over the United States, and it's a place where students get the opportunity to press in and support a different community. It was an incredible time. God worked in amazing ways through both our students and then through the people that we got to interact with while we were there. In case you're curious, Puerto Rico is hot. It is humid, but it was hotter here. I'm very sorry. It was an incredible time. One of the cool things that we got the opportunity to do was learn a little bit of the culture and a little bit of the language. And one of the key takeaways that I had is a single word that I'm going to teach you today. It is a slang word used primarily in Puerto Rico, and it is the word huepa, okay? What huepa means is yeah! It's a celebratory word. It's a let's go type phrase. And so what we're going to do is we're going to all say it together. Okay? And when I say we're going to say it together, that doesn't mean that you can say huepa. All right? We're going to say it like a Puerto Rican would say it. All right? You ready? On three, we're going to say huepa. 1, 2, 3. Huepa. Yes! Good job, guys. Good job. One of the things that is so incredible about God is that we serve a huepa God, a God that is worthy of being celebrated. Today at Gateway Church, we are at the end of our fiscal year, and we are in our huepa celebration Sunday. And we're going to celebrate what God has done over the course of the last 12 months. Let's pray together as we get started. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, God, for the way that you have led Gateway. We thank you, Lord, because you have been faithful. You have accomplished what it is that you want to accomplish in our midst. And Lord, in this time, as we unpack your word, as we celebrate, as we talk, as we even look forward to what it is that we hope that you're going to do in the next 12 months, I pray, Lord, that we would be dialed in with you. That, Lord, in this space, distraction will be far from us. I pray, Lord, the words that come from me would be what you would want to say. And, Lord, let this moment, this time, be a sacred encounter between us and you. Amen. All right, if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to grab it. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have the text on the screen to my left and to my right. We're going to read a few verses in Philippians. I'm so sorry. I'm still getting used to this whole American thing or mainland thing. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We're going to do four things today, not eight, four. We're going to do four things today. We're going to take a few minutes and we're going to unpack this text. And we're really going to key in on verse 13, this idea that we can accomplish exactly what it is God wants us to do because he is the one that strengthens us. The next thing that we're going to do is using this idea of what God does and his faithfulness, we're going to look back at what we have accomplished, what God has done here at Gateway Church over the last 12 months. We've got a video that our team has put together. It's about 12 or 13 minutes long, and we're going to look at how God has impacted here. The third thing that we're going to do is I'm going to introduce an initiative to you that we are hoping God will lead us into, that we believe that God is leading us into for the next 12 months. And then we're going to end with how we're going to accomplish that. Yes, I'm planning to be here for 30 minutes. I'm going to have to talk fast, eh? See? Okay. Let's go back and let's start by unpacking this verse, Philippians 4:10. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. It's important to understand that Philippians is a letter. It's a letter written by a guy named the Apostle Paul to a church or a group of churches in the city of Philippi. One of the themes throughout this letter is Paul's warm regard for the way that this church in Philippi has loved on him. You see, Paul at this point in his life needs people around him. He is currently in prison. At the end of his life, his death is imminent, and yet people are coming around him, are caring for him, and are supporting him. One way that this is happening from Philippi is that they sent a man named Epaphroditus, we talked about him about a month ago, to support and minister to Paul as he is in prison. You see, it's important to understand, prison in the ancient world, the ancient Roman world, is not like prison here. Here, in today's world, if you're in prison, you're treated with a certain amount of dignity. You're given meals. But in the ancient world, if you didn't have somebody on the outside, it was very possible, maybe even very likely, that you would starve. And so this church in Philippi sends Epaphroditus 850 miles, a treacherous journey in the first century, to help support Paul. And what he's saying is, I praise God that you have been concerned about me. He continues, I know that you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me until you sent Epaphroditus, likely because of the long distance. There's an important principle here, one that we could spend 30 or 45 minutes on together, but we're going to spend about two. And that principle is this, that we as Christ followers are meant to support one another. Yes, you are made for community. You are made to help and to be helped by those around you in the faith. And yes, that means people close to you, but it also means people on the other side of the world. A good example of this is these trips that our students have had the opportunity to take, Puerto Rico being one. One, a couple of weeks prior, we had our middle schoolers go to Duluth, not quite as far. In both circumstances, we had the opportunity, by the grace of God, to help pour into these communities. In Puerto Rico, I can speak because I was there, we worked with a church called Iglesia Episcopal Sao Paulo, the Episcopal Church of St. Paul. This church was painted army green and orange, and they wanted the church building to be painted white and gray. And I tell you what, it's pretty incredible to see the look on someone's face when they say, we have prayed for years that someone could help us paint, and to see followers of Christ come alongside and meet a physical need. That's what we're made for. Yes, you should pray for people. Yes, you should be kind to them. Yes, you should love them. You should hold them in warm regard. You should forgive and treat them well. You should also, as you are able, help meet physical needs. And that's what Paul is commending these churches in Philippi for doing. From here, he transitions, though, in verse 11, and he says this, not that I was ever in need, which is an interesting statement from a guy in prison, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. What does that mean? I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. What he's saying is, my condition does not make a difference. I am content in my heart. Why is that? It's because of one of the most, maybe not one of the most, but a commonly misunderstood, misquoted verse in the Bible. Possibly you have heard it. It's where we're going to spend the rest of the first portion of our time. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. What Paul is saying is, my circumstances don't matter because Jesus Christ gives me the power to live in whatever place God chooses to put me. This verse is commonly misunderstood, and I can tell you why. And I can tell you why because I've believed this for a very long time. If you read this for what it is, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, the temptation is to say, whatever it is that I want to do, I can do it, and Jesus will help me. The problem is, that's not what this means. Rather, in context, what it means is that wherever God puts me, He will strengthen me. Let me give you a really practical example. I'm from Texas. Some of you know that. Some of you may not. I was born and raised in Amarillo, Texas. Went to Texas Tech University. Reckon if you're a football or basketball fan. Maybe you're not. My plan was to finish my degree, to go to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, to graduate and go be a youth pastor, work my way up to pastoring a church, and to retire after 45 years of ministry. In Tejas. Okay? If I had read this verse and interpreted it to say, God, this is my plan and you're going to give me strength to do my plan, I'd be pretty disappointed today. But rather than going that pathway, I was accepted at Southwestern Seminary but didn't enroll, went instead into the corporate world for 10 years. Ended up in Wisconsin, of all places, transitioned into ministry, and moved here 6 years ago. You wouldn't know me, and I wouldn't know you if it was my plan. But God strengthened me and my family and continues to do so, as He does with you, to do the very things that He wants to accomplish. Because He is a faithful and good God. We are here today on Wepa Sunday, celebrating what God has done in our midst. And in the last 12 months, I think if a year ago I had said, hey, this is what we're going to look like in 12 months. I don't know that I would have picked it exactly like this. There may be a few little details different. But God has strengthened us as a church, as a body, to be exactly what it is that he wants us to be. With that, let's transition quickly and look at what God has done in the last 12 months here at Gateway.
Be at church on Sunday, but you might not see me. It's not because I'm hiding from you. It's not because I'm cutting my hair or trimming my beard. It's because I get the privilege of serving in Teal Room.
I think too often we try to fight spiritual battles with willpower or with our emotions. But God doesn't ask us to be strong enough. He invites us to put on his strength.
The thing about Easter is that it's a lot more than just tradition. You see, if what happened on Easter is really true, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, then it is far more than just a holiday. It's a revolution. As we explore the claim of the resurrection, the best proof that I can give you, the best reason for confidence, is the changed lives that we see in the scriptures.
No stronger, no higher name than Jesus. You're greater, you're stronger, your kingdom.
Hey guys, Pastor Jeff here. We are in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, about to start our Youth Works mission trip. But here's a quick highlight of some of the things we've done so far.
First night of sleeping on the floor looks like.
Terrible.
There's Trenton. Yeah, you feeling all right or no? Really? Not so much. How you guys feeling, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Got a little sleep? A little sleep?
2 hours.
2 hours?
Hello, my name is Deba Tape Bono. So we went, we got 2 boxes. I got one, she got one, came out. I was so amazed. And I had a feeling that person prayed before they even, you know, bought those things to put it in that box.
My name is Rosella Freitag and I'm 12 years old. My whole life it's been on and off. But in the past year, I've really grown my relationship with Jesus, and I just want to get to know him better.
We have 3 kids, and our youngest, Jonah, is severely autistic. And that has come with various challenges through different seasons of life, but especially about 5 years ago, things got really, really hard. The Lord opened some doors for me to start sharing that. I had started an Instagram page. I'm a photographer and I had a photography page, but I wanted a space where I could maybe share other things. And the Lord used that not only for them, but for me.
My name is Tony White, and I've been privileged to lead a group here on Tuesday nights for 10 years. Now it'll be 11 years, February 18th. Group is called Transformed is the name. The group started out as an addiction recovery group, and we have now branched out into what I like to call life issues.
My relationship with Jesus has always been kind of an arm's length one, lukewarm, whatever you want to call it. The last 18 months, I've taken more of a daily asking for his presence in my life and looking for his wisdom and his advice and just wanting to be closer to him. And that desire is just burning hotter every day, it feels like.
My name is Jenny Lidstrom. Being in a life group has helped me strengthen my relationship with Jesus, by getting to know people here.
Where it's helped me grow has really been in that idea of how do I learn from somebody else. I think sometimes even just sharing what I've learned helps me know better what I've learned about the lesson or about the word that day.
My name's Mila Freitag, and I'm 9 years old. My life, about Jesus is great.
Well, I'm Phil Ronsheimer, and this is my wife, Mary Ellen. We've pastored in churches across the country for about 45 years before we retired in 2015, and just really had some very good experiences throughout all of that. And we're glad to be able to plug in here at Gateway, and had an opportunity to preach several times.
My name is Jameson Brian Hall, and I am 7th. Jesus means everything to me.
Hi, my name is Andrew Welch. My relationship with Jesus is pretty amazing. It's been rocky through my life, but it's been really great for the past few years, especially really learning to dedicate and live for him and just kind of live for others and love like he did.
My bloodline comes from generations of trauma. I think there's a lot of addiction, a lot of mental health, and so I took a lot of that on at a young age.
We can't calm the storm, but we can adjust the sail. But we know who can calm the storm. God can. And falling down is an accident, but staying down is a choice. And I choose to stand up, and I choose to move forward, and I choose to be baptized.
You guys think that's worthy of a wepa? Wepa! One word, and only one. God has been faithful to us. And we look forward to what God is going to continue to do here at Gateway Church. And with that, I want to walk you guys now into where we see God taking us in the next 12 months. And that begins with an initiative that we call Together 26. Together 26 represents a culmination of where we feel like God wants to move, where he's called us into, and it's going to start this September. There's three pieces to Together 26, very simple. We're praying that God would have us baptize 26 people this coming year, starting in September. This last year we had 18. So it's a bit of a stretch goal, but that faith gap we feel like is something that God can close. And so as a community, we're hopeful that God will allow us to have 26 people who publicly say, my life is different because of Christ. 26 baptisms. The second part of Together 26 is 26 times to invite people. Now this one needs a little explanation, okay? 26 invitations for people to step into a deeper walk in their faith per family, right? So what could that be? That could be inviting your neighbor to a church service. That could be inviting a friend to study the Bible with you. That could be, and Lord, please let this happen, inviting people to take the journey with Christ for themselves for the first time. 26 invitations per family. And then last but certainly not least is $26,000 in Great Commission Fund giving. Let me explain this one for you. Gateway Church is part of a denomination known as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. A big part of our heart as a denomination is international work. That people all around the world would have the opportunity to see Jesus. All of Jesus for all the world. Just like that song underneath the video was saying. Over 800 international workers are part of the Alliance, serving in many countries all around. One of the things I love about our denomination is that in general, not entirely, but in general, most of their expenses are covered through the Great Commission Fund. That way, they don't have to come to the States, worry about money, worry about trying to raise their living, but rather, they can focus on what's more important, which is the gospel, okay? So as a church, we already give to the Great Commission Fund. We as a church have already committed to $26,000 of giving. However, that's been out of our regular budget for the most part. It's been offset some. We're asking that you guys help us so that we can put $26,000 separate from our budget, or perhaps even more, to the Great Commission Fund. So three things. 26 baptisms, 26 invitations per family, and $26,000 to the Great Commission Fund. We believe that God wants to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's what the scriptures say. And for us, we believe that this is what 2025-26 looks like. Wepa? Wepa. Okay. All right. How are we going to do this? I know it's a lot. How are we going to do this? We're going to accomplish this through what we're calling our three environments. And I will explain what I mean by this as we go along. Connect, grow, and live. These are not necessarily new things, but these are an organizing of how we do ministry. And we believe that if we engage in these properly, Together 26 is going to come together. What is connect? Connect is connecting with God and with other people. It's Sunday services, yes, absolutely. But it's also opportunities for us to connect with each other and with those in our community around us. Starting in July and ongoing, once a month, we're going to have a connect event for different groups of people. We're going to have one for our kids in July. That's kids camp. In August, we're going to have an opportunity for men to connect, a men's connect event. Then in September, we're going to have an all-church event. Then in October, we're going to have a ladies event. And that flow is going to continue through all year. Three times a year, there will be a men's event, a women's event, an all-church event, and a kids event. Those are places where we want those invitations to happen. The only way that people know about Christ is if you and I tell them. And an easy way to bring people in is to invite them into a place that's not scary, not frightening, but rather a place to know people, to begin to be introduced to Christ. And those are what our connect events are going to be. Grow. Our grow environment is our discipleship environment, that's small groups. We've got some really exciting stuff planned, not only for groups, but also for some additional grow pieces. We believe that as we grow, we will continue to press into God, we'll continue to live more generously, we will continue to just grow closer to Christ. And so we're excited about that. And then our last environment is our live environment, which is equipping and activating people to serve and to lead. If we don't do this, no one will. With the power of Christ, we can accomplish everything he wants us to do. We believe that he wants us to hit Together 26, to have people's lives changed, to support our international workers, and to be people on mission beyond these walls. And so this is what we're going to do. This is what the next fiscal year is going to look like. And I can't wait to stand in front of you again next year and share what God does, because I believe it's going to be amazing, because we serve a faithful God. Lord, we thank you for this morning, for the opportunity that you have given us to be here. We thank you, Lord, for a year of incredible impact that you have caused. Lord, I ask that in this next year, as we look forward, as we say yes to what it is that you're asking us to do, I pray that you would do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. I pray that lives would be transformed. I pray that we would be transformed. And I pray, Lord, that the world around us would see Jesus for exactly who he is, the one who sacrificed all that we might know you, God. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.